Welcome back to another episode of Bless the She That Believe. We're in season 3, episode 28. Put in the work. Oh, y'all, this one is going to be really good. I say that about every episode. All right, this one, man, it was burning in my chest. Like, seriously, when the Lord was speaking to me through His Holy Spirit, just showing me what these scriptures, y'all, I can't even get my words together because it was heavy. Okay. It was heavy and it was, He was speaking to me cause I asked Him a question and let me tell you something. When you ask God a question, He is definitely going to answer it. So before we get into the word, let's go to the throne. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You right now for this morning or night, wherever we are in the world. Father God, I thank You for this day. Thank You that You have allowed us to see it. You have allowed us to make it through. Thank You, Father God, for keeping us through the night and allowing us to sleep well. Father, I thank You for our families. I thank You for our jobs. I thank You for every place You have us planted right now in this season. Father, I thank You that Your word go forth without hindrance, without delay, without denial, without any distractions or disturbances, Father. I thank You so much, Father God, for showing us great and mighty things that we don't know about, Lord, because we're calling upon You right now, Father. And You said in Your word that if we call upon You, You would show us the great and mighty things that we don't know. Father, I thank You that we are asking for You to sup with us today, Father. We are asking that You come and visit us, Father, as this word goes forth, Lord. We're asking that You show us, Lord, what You need us to see in Your word, Father. We're just knocking on that door, Lord, and asking that You invite us into Your holy presence, Father God. Lord, we just thank You for Your word today. We thank You that Your word is alive and that Your word does not return unto You void. Father, I thank You for being God. Thank You for being God alone. There is none beside You. Thank You, Father God, for Your love, Your everlasting love toward us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So y'all, let me tell you what happened. If my voice sounds different, it's because I'm doing this in the morning before church. Like, so I roll out of bed, bonnet on my head. That's all I got with the rhyming words. But seriously, this is my sleep voice. So yeah, it's a little different. I'm trying to get it to go away, but it's not going away. But, yeah, it was Friday morning. I was getting ready for work. And let me just say this before I say anything else. I love teaching. And I just want people to realize teaching is not limited to being in a building with people in front of you learning. It can be what I'm doing right now. It can be in front of younger people or older people. It can be in front of a large crowd. It can be in front of two people. Like, teaching goes across different planes. Okay. So, I love to talk. I love to explain things. Even sometimes when I don't know what I'm explaining, I love to explain things. Like, I'm teaching Brit Lit this year and I'm like, what am I doing? But anyway, whatever. So I was fixing my breakfast before work Friday morning and I was like, what am I supposed to be doing? Because, you know, I'm thinking about some of the things the Lord used people to speak to me about. And I'm just like, when am I going to get to do that? Like, one of them, the first time that it was spoken to me was 7 years ago. And I just thought about that. I never calculated the time, but it's part of my head. Like, it was 7 years ago. The next time somebody said something, it was about 2 years ago. And then last year, like I told y'all before, my students were confirming some stuff. And I'm just like, okay, so when am I going to see that? Because, like, I'm tired now. So I would like to do something different. You know, like, just, well, let me tell you. When you ask the Lord something, sometimes the answer come right away, and then sometimes it may be a while. Well, the answer came that day when I got home. And for anybody who is an educator on here, you know about that first Friday of the brand new school year, the very first Friday of the school year. You know how that goes. Y'all, I got home at 4:30. I was knocked out. I went to my dog's vet, got picked her up. She had to get her nails trimmed that day. I picked her up, got her home, made sure she was straight, gave her a snack, made sure she went outside, go to the bathroom, fed her some water, you know, got her some water to drink, got her a little snack to eat. I got in my bed. I was done. I slept until about maybe 7, 8 o'clock, woke up, ate some leftovers, took a shower, brushed my teeth, went back to bed. I was done. I slept like nobody's business. And then I woke up at 6 o'clock Saturday morning, like, I am not going to work today. But it was so funny because then I got on Facebook around 6 o'clock in the morning, and a lot of the educators in the school system here were up. Like, why are we up? Slept like the dead last night, and now I'm up. Like, this is who we are. But anyway, when I did get up before I went back to sleep Friday night, I was like, let me spend some time in the Word, you know. I just really felt like, you know, I got time. Like, I don't have nothing else to do. Let me spend some time in the Word. And because what was going to happen was I was going to put a movie on to fall asleep. So I was like, no, let me spend some time with the Lord. So I was like, Lord, what do I need to read? Because I had just finished reading Nehemiah. And, it's like when I get done reading, something ends that I read, like in the Bible, when a book ends, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with my life now? Or when I finish reading a book, like a novel or something, and it's over, it's like, what was I doing before I started reading? Like, what was happening? It's like, let me find my purpose in life again. But so I ended up in Amos. And I was like, okay. And I didn't feel like I needed to start with chapter 1. I ended up in chapter 6. And I started reading chapter 6. And then I got to chapter 7. Chapter 7, y'all. Hold on. Let me take a sip of water. Chapter 7 is it's a doozy. Now, Amos is a prophet, right? Amos is a prophet. And he is located in the section called the minor prophets of the Bible, and he is prophesying. He's been prophesying about Israel's captivity, like Israel's gonna be taken captive. So if you drop down, like, he had a couple of visions at the beginning of chapter 7, but if you drop down to verse 11, it says, and I'm reading from the King James, okay, but I'll flip over to New Living Translation in a couple of minutes. It says in verse 11, for thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah sent unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee. Actually, you know what? That's not where I wanted to start. I wanted to start at verse 10. There it is. Verse 10. Okay. This is where I wanted to start. I was like, why am I reading in the middle of this? Okay, I'm going to start at verse 10. Okay, y'all. Verse 10 says, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Amos got me with this one. Just listen. So Amaziah is the priest of Bethel. Okay, we're gonna talk about that. He's the priest of Bethel. He basically, I guess he sent a message to Jeroboam, who was the king of Israel, saying that Amos is plotting on your downfall. He's a hater. He is in the midst of the house of Israel saying the land, like what he's prophesying, we're not able to hear. Like we can't stand what he's saying. Because he's saying that you about to die, you're going to be killed, and Israel's going to be led captive out of their own land. Like what he's saying is too heavy for us to hear. Okay. So then Amaziah rose up to Amos. He goes up to Amos and he tells Amos, like, look, you need to go ahead and leave. Get out of Bethel. Go somewhere else and prophesy. Go and be prosperous somewhere else and prophesy. Because he mentions, like, he said in verse 12, flee thee away into the land of Judah. Go over to Judah and eat bread over there. That means be prosperous over there. And prophesy. We don't need you to prophesy here in Israel no more. Like, you need to leave our land. Because you doing too much. You making people upset. And we don't have time for that. That's what he said. Y'all, why he said that to that man of God? Why did he say that to that man of God? Because guess what Amos said? It says, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not your word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided by line, and you shall die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Y'all. Like, the New Living Translation, the New Living Translation says, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is hatching a plot against you right here on your very doorstep. What he is saying is intolerable. He is saying Jeroboam will soon be killed and the people of Israel will be sent away into exile. Then Amaziah sent orders to Amos, get out of here, you prophet. Go on back to the land of Judah and earn your living by prophesying there. Don't bother us with your prophecies here in Bethel. This is the king's sanctuary and the national place of worship. But Amos replied, I'm not a professional prophet, and I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd, and I take care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord called me away from my flock and told me, go and prophesy to my people in Israel. Now then, listen to this message from the Lord. You say, don't prophesy against Israel. Stop preaching against my people. But this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in the city. Your sons and daughters will be killed. Your land will be divided up. And you yourself will die in a foreign land. And the people of Israel will certainly become captives in exile far from their homeland. Y'all. First of all. Let's talk. Like, there are so many things in these verses. There are so many things in these verses. Let's speak about one, speaking against the man or woman of God. That's a no-no. See, now I gotta go find the scripture. I know I have people from all over the world listening right now. There's a thing we say in the South called, don't put your mouth on nobody. I realize now how country that sounds. You don't put your mouth on nobody. What does that mean? That means you don't speak against anyone. There is an example that is used all the time in reference to this. Hold on, I'm trying to find it as you can hear me typing. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit is moving. And I typed in the wrong thing. See, I know I'm sleepy. I was looking for Miriam, Moses's sister, and what happened with her. And I said Miriam against Abraham. I meant to type Moses, but my fingers typed Abraham. Blessed be. Okay, so don't speak against this. You don't put your mouth on anybody, like the man or woman of God. Like, you just don't. You just don't. And okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You don't talk against the man or woman of God. That's a no-no, because that's who God chose. And it's a couple of examples, but this is one that, okay, I don't think a lot of people realize this. It's in the Bible, but it is. And I'm going to read it. It's from Numbers 12, chapter 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron are Moses' brother and sister, right? Okay. Moses married an Ethiopian woman. So, because remember, he married one of Jethro's daughters, right? Okay. Now I can't think of her name. Zipporah. He married Zipporah. Okay. Not Sephora, the makeup place. No, Zipporah. Zipporah. I believe that's how you spell it. He married Zipporah. Yeah, I'm spelling it right. Zipporah was an Ethiopian woman, so she's African, okay? Because Ethiopia is located where? In Africa. Okay. A lot of these places are located in Africa, but I'm not going to go in that direction. I just want to make, okay? Just want to make, so we know where we are geographically. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Numbers, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman." I love how they flip-flopped and reversed that. For the Ethiopian woman he married, for the woman he had married that was an Ethiopian woman. Oh, gosh. And in verse 2, it says, "And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." Now, remember, Miriam was a prophetess and Aaron was a priest. Okay, so you got Moses, who is the deliverer of the people, and the Lord speaks to him. And then you have his brother Aaron, who is a priest. And he's in charge of all of the, you know, the priest and the priesthood. And then you have Miriam, who's a prophetess. So Miriam and Aaron, and remember, Miriam and Aaron were in bondage. Moses was the only one, because he was the baby of the family. Moses was the one who was not born in, he was born in the bondage, but he didn't live in bondage. You know what I'm saying? Like, his mama put him in the basket that she made. Like, she followed the rules. She put him in the river, but he was just in the basket. They never said you couldn't put your child in the basket. So he was in the basket, and you know, the Lord guided that basket down the Nile River to Pharaoh's house, where Pharaoh's daughter raised Moses as her own son. So Moses did not live as a slave. Okay, so Miriam and Aaron are talking against Moses. not only with the woman he made, it says they talked against him because of the woman, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Then they started saying, hath the Lord indeed spoken on, why can't the Lord talk to us too? Why is Moses only hearing from the Lord? But see, it says the Lord heard it. In verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And I believe, and see, that verse 3 is in parentheses. I believe it's saying like Moses knew they were talking about him and stuff like that, but he didn't address it. He's just like, you know what, that's my brother and my sister. Not that it didn't upset him, not that it didn't bother him, but I believe that Moses is just like, look, I got all these people that I gotta watch out for and pray for and stuff. I don't have time to deal with them. I just don't. But guess what the Lord said in verse 4? And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. So y'all ain't been hearing the Lord before. It's just been Moses, but now the Lord talking to all three of y'all. He's like, I have had enough. I'm going to deal with this right now. He spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. Like a father scolding his children. And they three came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? My God. How dare you speak against the one I chose to be my mouthpiece? I speak to him mouth to mouth. And you didn't have no fear of speaking against him. Y'all, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. Like, I ain't gonna lie, I've done that. I've done that. And because of the grace of Jesus, I did not, you know what I'm saying? Like, ooh, because y'all, what happened is Miriam became, the Lord was angry with Miriam and Aaron. And when he departed, when the cloud departed from the tabernacle, Miriam had leprosy. Aaron didn't have none because Aaron wore the mantle. So he was covered by the mantle. You see how the blood covers you? The mantle that Aaron wore as a priest was covering him from what he could have got at that time. But Aaron got his later on because when it was time for him to go, as soon as the mantle came off of him, he dropped dead. Like, the Lord is, y'all, the Lord does not play about speaking against his children. And to be honest, the thing is, people are going to make you mad. We're flawed. People are flawed. People may do things that you don't understand. You take that to the Lord and you talk to the Lord. Don't link up with somebody else and talk, because then that is gossip. And the thing is, the person could be wrong. The person could be absolutely wrong, but that's still who God chose. That's why you got to go to the Lord with that. You take it to the Lord and you pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to show that person where they're wrong. And you ask the Lord to deal with them, and you leave it with the Lord. And that is so hard for us to do, because we get comfort in talking to other people about the issues we have that are similar, because we find strength in numbers, right? But that turns into gossip, and then you start speaking stuff that is not right against somebody. When you have an issue with someone, take it to the Lord first. And then if the Lord wants you to discuss it with somebody else, he'll lead you to it. And that, y'all, I had to grow up and realize that, because when I was younger, I ain't care. Like, I'm mad. I want to talk to somebody about this. Like, where's the manager? Where's the manager? I need to speak to somebody. I'm going to be justified. You know what I'm saying? No, the Lord justifies. You take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what the old saints say. Take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it at his feet. Don't pick it up again. Because like I said, we're all flawed individuals. The Lord uses everybody. And some people he uses to minister and be the shepherd of the flock that he's giving them and giving them charge of. They may mess up. They may make a mistake. They may say the wrong thing. They may whatever. Everybody's flawed. Nobody's exempt from mistakes. But you still have to respect the calling on their life. And you have to know the Lord called them. Therefore, you don't speak against the man or the woman of God. Mm-mm. I'm telling you, because it never works out. That it never works out when you link up with somebody and y'all start talking. Because it's not like you're talking about this person and saying, okay, what do we need to do next? Okay, we need to do this. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says if you have aught against your brother, then these are the steps. So we need to go do this, this, and this, and this. Nothing good comes from going, because we don't do that. We want to talk to vent. We don't want to talk to solve the problem. We just want to vent. And it's good to vent with somebody who also has the same problem, because then you can vent together. But a lot of times that turns into gossip, and gossiping is a sin because you're murdering the person's character. That's why gossip is a sin. You killing somebody with your words. And you can't, And then here's the other thing. You got another example is, now Miriam, I will say Miriam was, the Lord did heal her. Because Moses, her brother, whom she was talking about, prayed to God on her behalf. He interceded for her. And the Lord said, okay, I'll remove it after a couple of days. I'll move it out. She got to sit with that. He said she need to sit with that for a minute. So she had to be outcast from the body, from everybody. She had to be outcast. And then after the number of days that the Lord said that she had to sit with the leprosy, then she was admitted back into the camp and went through the purifying and cleansing process and all that stuff. But yeah. Speaking again, and she was a prophetess, and Aaron was a priest, and they, because they didn't like how things were being done. They didn't like the fact that they were excluded. Me personally, if somebody, I appreciate when somebody else is in charge. That's a, let me stay in my lane. I was just telling somebody the other day, if I could go back to the child's table, that metaphorical and literal child's table, if I can go back to a child's place, I will go back to a child's place so fast, because there were no sponsorbillaries. As Tommy Pickles from Rugrats would say, I don't want no sponsorbillaries. Because listen, these children, this senior class of 2025 that's getting ready to graduate, Lord willing, in May, they don't understand sponsorbillaries. They don't understand what a responsibility is like. I don't speak for all of them, but some of them that I see, some of them that I know, I don't know what's going to happen. We got to stay prayed up for these babies, because the world, y'all, I don't think anybody's prepared to go into the world after high school, to be honest. I don't think anybody, I know I wasn't, but we got to pray for these kids. Got to pray for them. Whew, pray for them. They have a lot to offer the world, but they got to be prepared. We got to do our job, you know. But yeah, if I could go back to not having responsibilities, I would jump back so fast into a child's place, because being in charge, being an adult, is hard. As y'all have heard me say several times on this podcast. But anyway, another example is when David cut off a piece of Saul's garment while Saul was sleeping, which that actually represent something else too, which I'm not gonna get into, but David was very sorrowful because you're not supposed to touch God's anointed. Saul was still the king and God had anointed him to be king. Even though Saul was nutting up and acting a fool, that was still the one God had chosen. Or yeah, that was still the one. And David honored that. He honored that position. And he knew he wasn't supposed to do that. That's why he was so remorseful after he did it. He let pride take in and kick in. So no, you don't speak against the man or woman of God. And Amaziah did that. He lied. He lied, and I'm going to say he lied because he didn't like what Amos had to say. So he went to the king to get Amos in trouble. And let's look at Amaziah again, because look, I was all up in the commentaries on this section. This thing, it's really funny because the Holy Spirit really started hitting me with this yesterday morning after I slept on this word. It started hitting me like, I didn't see that. But when I was reading the commentaries Friday night, like there, one of the commentaries said, this is the difference between, like, Amaziah was not chosen by God. Amaziah was chosen by the system, the religious system. So catch that. He was the priest of Bethel, but he wasn't the priest of the Lord. See, he was part of that religious system. Amos knows he is not a prophet. Amos said, neither was I a son of a prophet. He even gave his lineage. There's no prophets. This doesn't run in my family. I already know where I know who I am. I'm a herdsman and I'm a gatherer of figs. That's what I do. But God called me. Y'all. When God calls you, but here's the bulk of what I wanted to speak about with you today. Oh, I sounded like a preacher. When I said that, oh Lord, have mercy. This is the title of the message. Put in the work. Amos was doing what when God called him? Amos was working. Amos was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was a herdsman and he was gathering figs. Okay? He was a herdsman and he was taking care of sycamore fig trees. A horticulturalist, I think, is what we call it. He was like a gardener, or he was taking care of doing what he was doing with them sycamore trees that grow figs. Okay? That's what Amos was doing. And you know what the Holy Spirit told me? He told me yesterday morning when I was eating breakfast. This is always when I'm eating breakfast. He told me, you have to do what you are doing. The work that's ahead of you right now, you have to do that in order to be called. Do y'all catch that? Whatever it is that you're doing right now, that's what you focus on. Do it as unto the Lord. And when the Lord is ready to call you, he'll call you. Well, actually, I shouldn't say when the Lord is ready to call you. When you're ready to be called, he'll call you. Yeah. I've said it a couple of times. David got anointed, and I heard a pastor say this, and I don't know if I saved that real, because that thing, know it was good, said you get anointed, then you're appointed. Let me look up definition. I know what appointed means, but you know words have multiple meanings. Said Let's see. Assign a job or role to someone. To be given a position of duty. To be chosen for a specific job or task. Yeah. David got anointed first, and then he was appointed to be the king. It's like, if David, think about how crazy it would have been if David, once he got anointed, he was like, okay, well, I'm going to be the king of Israel, so let me go ahead and go to the palace. How you going to go to the palace, sir? They didn't call for you. Remember the episode? It was a couple of weeks ago. They had to send for David, but where did they send for him? When he was out in the field. His daddy sent for him first, and then the king sent for him. And when his daddy sent for him, it was to go into the field to take lunch to his brothers. And then after he fought Goliath, guess what David went? David went back to the field with the sheep, because guess what? The king's men, the servants, went, told the king about David playing the lyre or whatever they called it, the little thing, playing music. He's a psalmist. And he said, okay, go get him. And guess where they had to go get him from? The field. You got to do the work that's been given to you. And that's what the Lord was showing me, is you put in the work where you are right now. Don't worry about when I'm going to call you. You just work, and when the call comes, then you go. So for those of you who are getting antsy because you know the Lord has something else for you to do, just keep being diligent in what it is that you're doing. Stop complaining. Stop having a bad attitude. Stop wishing your life away. Time, I wish it was the end of the week. I wish I could go home. I'm ready to go. Stop doing all of that. Apostle Paul says in Philippians, he's learned to be content in whatsoever state that he is in. He's learned both how to be abased and how to abound. That wherever he is, I don't have me quote the rest of that. Because look, I'm sitting here like, wait, what is he? I got to say it right. I know I said the first half, but when I got to that last part, it's like, let me look it up real quick. I got lost. He said, I know how to both be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. That's what I was trying to remember. But you got to learn to be content. Learning means that you have to be taught. Because you can't learn unless you're taught. So that's why we go through the things we go through. We go through the hardships. We go through the trials. So we can learn. You can't learn unless you have a test. Well, I said it wrong. You'll know if you have learned the information when you have a test. Okay? So, yeah. Amos, He knew he had no qualifications to be a prophet except for God chose him. Here's the other thing. We have so many people. I said this on my TikTok yesterday. If you're not following me on TikTok, follow me on TikTok. Same name, and bless the she that believe. I said this on TikTok yesterday. We have so many churches that are so focused on people having titles. And it's like, what are y'all doing? Building a monarchy? Well, we got the Duke of Deacons, and we got the Duchess of the Deaconess Board. We have the Archbishop of the Bishops. Like, what are we doing? Why do we have, it's like, we have all of these apostles and prophets in one building when the Lord told us to go out into the world and preach the gospel. But y'all want to show up in your priestly robes every Sunday. It's crazy to me. I was going to say it's funny. It's not funny. It's wild. It's wild that you will have 15 apostles in one church, 15 prophets in one church, and like two people who have no titles. Everybody on the platform. Everybody got to have the microphone. Everybody. And you got two people sitting in the congregation that's just regular. And that's because they visitors. Who you preaching to? And I use preaching loosely at this moment. Who are you delivering a word to? I'm just asking for myself. Y'all got to take turns every Sunday. Oh, it's my Sunday to deliver the word. Because Apostle so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so did it last week, so it's my turn. And then next week, it's going to be Evangelist so-and-so. Whoa, why? And here's my thing with the evangelist. You're not supposed to be sitting up in one church the whole time. You're supposed to be moving about delivering the word. That's what an evangelist does. An evangelist goes from town to town preaching the word. That's what an evangelist does. A bishop has his own church. So why are there 1,500 bishops in one church? That's what I'm trying to, like, did y'all not read the Bible? Because the Bible has all of these positions in it that tell you what you're specifically supposed to be doing. No, y'all just want the title. And then go to the restaurants after church and sit up there at the table, taking up all the seats in the tables in the restaurant. Like, y'all just so important. Y'all eating at a buck. Oh, Lord. Sorry. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with eating at the plate. And y'all, my thing is, y'all are comfortable like that. You comfortable with that. God didn't call us to a life of comfortableness. He didn't call us to a life of luxury. We're supposed to be like Christ. Christ did not come in on a white horse or a throne here, not yet. He came in lowly and humble. Nobody even recognized him. Nobody knew who he was. But y'all really want to make y'all name known. And got people in bondage. Like, that's what really be making me mad. I get so mad when I think about it, because it's like so many people, even some of the people who are getting these titles, they are in bondage to a religious system. They don't even know. And people have given their money, their bill money, to these people. They worship these leaders, and it's not right. Like, they are in bondage, and it's like, you need to come out in Jesus' name. Like, I pray right now, if anybody is in those situations, in these kind of churches, that you are made free through the blood of the Lamb in the mighty name of Jesus right now. I pray that every chain of bondage is broken off your life right now in the mighty name of Jesus, because that is not your God. That man, that woman is not your God. Stop it. There is one God who sits on the throne above heaven and earth. Only one, and there is none beside him. Stop worshiping man. That is why, y'all, listen, I'm in the, going in some a different direction, because let me tell you, I'm gonna tell you right now, the Bible said it. Chapter 8 of Amos. I saw this morning when I was getting ready to get up. I saw this morning, chapter 8 of Amos, and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. There's going to be a famine in the land for hearing the words of the Lord. You will not want to hear the word. And that is where we are right now. No one wants to hear the word. I just saw on TikTok the other day, someone was talking about a particular ministry. I can't even remember the ministry. I can't remember what happened or whatever. And they said, where is the word of the Lord? Y'all, this is a state of emergency. And y'all, we're not seeing it because we're asleep. We're distracted with our phones. We're distracted with reality TV. We're distracted with these entertainers. We are distracted by everything the enemy is throwing at us. We're getting distracted. I'm not exempt. I had to cut distractions off, and then the enemy trying to bring them back. It's a battle. It is a battle. You have got to set your affections on things above and not on things beneath, according to Colossians 3 and 2. You have got to stay with your head down, nose in this Bible. You're going to have to fast and pray. These are the last days. And we're getting carried away with our own lust. And we've got to stop, because let me tell you something. You keep playing, and I'm talking to myself, keep playing with it, and the Lord gonna let you have it, and you're not gonna be able to hear his voice no more. Do you understand how dangerous it is to not hear the voice of God anymore? That is a dangerous thing. I don't ever want to get to the place where I can't hear his voice anymore. If I don't, listen, I start nutting up. If I ask a question, I don't get an answer after a day or two. It's like, hold up, did you come back already and I didn't hear the trumpets? Like, what's going on? I don't ever want to get so calloused in my heart that I don't hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Y'all, let me tell you something. I know it's time for me to get up in the mornings and read my word, because I start getting hot. It's like I'm burning up. And I'm like, okay. And as soon as I wake up and start reading my Bible, I'm cool. That's the Holy Spirit waking me up. Like, it's time to get up. I don't ever want that to stop. I don't ever want that to stop. Because if it stops, that means the Holy Spirit, Laura's like, okay, leave her alone. She don't want to get up. I don't ever want to not feel his presence in my life. Ever. That is scary, to think that you have gotten so far going into your sin that you don't feel the presence of God anymore. And that's where the children of Israel were. That's what they were. They didn't want it. That's why Amaziah told the king, the land is not able to bear all his words. The land can't tolerate it, because the word of God is a two-edged sword, piercing to the very marrow, cutting asunder and dividing your heart, like the heart. Okay. That's what the word of God does. That's why Jeremiah said, it feels like a fire shut up in my bones, because the word of God is alive. Whew. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Y'all, it's hot in here. Holy Spirit up in here. Because listen, I'm being like a fire shut up in your bones, because he's an all-consuming fire. The Bible even says in some parts of the Bible in the Old Testament, when you read the description of God, a sword of fire comes out of his mouth. Because that's his word. That's his word. But the land was not able to tolerate it. It was too heavy. It was too much. Because the word of God brings conviction. It goes to the very places, the dark areas of your heart, and shines a light on it. That's uncomfortable. And they don't want that. They don't want to hear the word. They don't want to know the truth. They want to be in the darkness, because they love the darkness more than they love the light. That's what the Bible says. And that's how people are today. The world has gotten darker. America has gotten darker. And they don't want the word. They don't want the truth. They want to live in darkness. And it's getting to a point where one day they're going to take the Bibles from us. And we're not going to have anything but what we've been reading and meditating on. That's why we are to study this word and meditate upon it day and night. If you are not already doing that, I highly suggest that you do that. You need to seek God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Y'all, it is serious. Don't think because this was written thousands of years ago, it's not applicable to today. The word of God is more relevant today than today's newspaper. It's more up to date than today's newspaper. I'm being honest, because how is it that what Amaziah said is what we're not seeing? We're seeing it. You got people who are more concerned about a title than they are about someone's salvation. You got more people concerned about their Bentleys and their Mercedes Benzes than they are about the homeless person standing across the street needing some fresh clothes. You're to love God, love people. That's the order. That's the order. Jesus said it. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's the first commandment. That's the greatest commandment. That's it. And then the second, love your neighbor. We're not loving anyone. That's why it's like this today. No one loves anybody. Perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. And that's why you got so many people in the body of Christ who hate somebody. They hating people. They hate them because of the way they look. They hate them because they don't like them. Because they just don't like them. You don't even have a reason. You hate your brother or sister. But then you talking about, I'm going to see Jesus. When? How are you going to sneer at a brother or sister in Christ whom you don't even know? But talk about you love Jesus. And y'all, I had to catch myself. I had to catch myself because I told you I work in the sound booth. I don't get a chance to mingle with everybody. I don't. And like with my church, we started off when me and my mom started going to my church, very small congregation. So it's like, you knew everybody. You could look around the room and know everybody. Okay. Now we have more people. So we went through this stage of growing pains. The older people who had been there and the people who were coming in. And it was like, we kind of wanted to stick with the people that we had always known, the people we considered family. But you can't do that because how are you making the new people feel? And also by doing that, by isolating yourself, you're not learning about the new people. So when you don't know something about somebody else, what do? You assume and you judge. And then you got all of these prejudices built up against them because you don't know them. You got to force yourself to go and meet people. But the problem is we are on our phones all the time, which that is an isolation tool, whether you realize it or not. Technology in itself is not bad. It is a great tool, but it's a tool. It's not a source. And we have made it a source. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Those phones have taught us how to isolate ourselves. Those phones have taught us how to live without human interaction. And that is not good. So now, instead of getting to know people like we used to do in the old days before cell phones, we just go and we see how people that look like that person act. And we just base everything off of that. And we just assume they act like that too. That's called prejudice. And then take it a step further, that prejudice turns into racism or sexism. Yeah. Based off of what you've been watching on social media, everything that, just think about it. Your before cell phones, your outlook on life was based off of who raised you and what they knew about the world. Now you add that with what you see about people who look that way from social media and the people who are posting in those groups on social media, then that's going to shape your whole outlook on people who look a certain way. If you're constantly seeing the negative stereotypes that social media kicks out to you on black people, then that's how you're going to view black people all the time, as ghetto, ignorant, no class. If all you see about white people is that they're racist, then you're going to assume all white people are racist. You're going to assume all white people hate everybody of every nation and race. That's not true. If you look at the negative stereotypes of Hispanic people, I mean, I could go on and on. And you know, every time you type in one thing, your phone is going to keep pulling up multiple things of that nature. So that's all you're going to be bombarded with. And we don't have the common sense to put the phone down and deplug sometimes or unplug. We don't. We just keep watching it over and over and over again. Then we get in those social media groups where those people are continually perpetuating those stereotypes against the races that we're talking about. So then your perception has now become your reality. And that's all you see. So then when you go to Walmart and you see the black people and the Hispanic people and the Asian people, now you thinking they act just like they did. And you're actually making up scenarios in your head of stuff that's not even happening. But we don't realize how that's how the enemy works. The enemy brings a thought, and if you entertain that thought long enough, that thought is then going to become your reality. That's what the Bible says in James. The Bible says in James that sin is I gotta go to James. Hold on. I didn't know I was going to be all over here like this, but I praise God that I am. Yep, James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The enemy will, you're constantly bombarded with thoughts all day, every day. But I heard this woman on Better Together. I watch that sometimes on YouTube. Really good. This woman that was on the show, she said, think of your mind as an airport. And the thoughts are planes. Every plane does not land at one particular airport. She said, so the thoughts that you know you're not supposed to be thinking, don't let them land at your airport. Don't give them the clearance. Y'all, that thing set me free right there. That thing made me free. Because listen, you just be innocent. And if you a daydreamer like I am, your thoughts will take you all over the place. You have a whole movie playing in your head. I know I used to when I was a little kid. You can't let those thoughts sit there. It's dangerous. Because then you'll play, and y'all, I'm a writer. Like, I'm a writer, so I can't let thoughts sit in my head too long. That'll turn into a whole book. I'll have a whole book in my head that it's not making any sense. It's like, why is that in my head? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can't let the thoughts sit there that you know are not supposed to. Thoughts of having sex with somebody, thoughts of telling somebody off. You know how you plan what you're going to say? Don't let them thoughts stay in your head. The Lord said, leave that alone. He got it. He's your vindicator. Vengeance is his. Leave that alone. Thoughts of you planning and plotting and scheming on something. I'm telling you, if you let the thoughts sit there long enough, guess what you're going to do? You're going to act it out. You're going to act it out. Because see, lust is not just a sexual thing. Lust is something that you want bad enough that you can't, it's insatiable. It's an insatiable desire. It means that it's something that cannot be quenched. It's basically whatever your heart wants bad enough. Like when you craving ice cream from Dairy Queen, you want a blizzard. You just really want an Oreo blizzard, and you got cookies at the house. You got fruit at the house. You have all this other, but it's not satisfying that desire for that Oreo blizzard, and you won't stop. The thought of an Oreo blizzard won't stop in your head until you get one, even if you got the little mini, because you're trying to be healthy. Even when you get that, you're like, okay, it's like it won't stop until you get a taste of it. Y'all, that's how your thoughts are. That's what lust is. That's the best example I can give you, is that. Okay? It's an insatiable desire for something. And then guess what? Once you get it, don't your body feel better? You just be like, But let me tell you something. Guess what? That desire come back. Until you nip it in the bud with the word of God, that desire gonna come back. Because your flesh don't care about Jesus. Your flesh don't care about heaven. Because guess what's going to happen to your flesh? Your flesh going to die. It's going to be maggot food. This skin that you see in the mirror, when you paint it up or when you shaving it or whatever like that, this skin that you see is going to be in the ground soon. It's going to be in the ground and it's going to be maggot food. That's why your flesh does not care. You have to fight your flesh. Paul said, I stay under my body. I have to keep under my body. I got to bring that thing down. Y'all, I don't even know how we got here, but hey, I'm glad we did. This is for me. This is for all of us, okay? Because look, we have to do better. He said, I'm sending the famine into the land, not for food, but for hearing the word of God. You won't listen to what is being preached. You have turned your ears off. My God. But Amos said, here's the other thing I wanted to talk about. When you know you called by God to do a particular thing, it doesn't matter if you are qualified. He qualifies you. And I know we've seen that on social media so many times. God doesn't call to qualify. He qualifies the call. But it's so true. And Amos says it. Amos said, I am not a professional prophet, and I was never trained to be one. My daddy wasn't one. My grandfather wasn't one. My great-grandfather wasn't one. So it's not even in my family, but I was working with the sheep. I was working with the trees, the sycamore trees, when God called me and said, go and prophesy to Israel. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord and do what he called me to do. When you are obedient to the Lord and you do what he calls you to do, no one has a right to say anything to you, but they're going to try. They're going to try and discourage you and make you feel like you're crazy. They're going to try and make you question God on what he said. They're going to do whatever they can because the enemy is using them. And you say, thus saith the Lord. That's what you say. You say, thus saith the Lord, because he put you there. The Bible says in Psalm 75, verses 6 through 7, promotion does not come from the east, the west, or the south, but God is judge. He puts down one and sets up another. That's what you say to them. God put me here. And as long as he has me here, I'm going to do what he told me to do. When he's ready for me to go do something else, I'm going to go. Samuel said when he was a child, here am I. Speak to me, Lord. Here am I. I'm telling y'all, because guess what? People going to question you. Well, where's your seminary degree? I don't have one. Well, what school do you go? I didn't go to school. Well, who's backing you? The Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, who told you the Lord? Y'all, I have something I'm working on. The Lord has me working on, and he's getting me ready to release it. I can't release it right now. I can't even, the people who know, but I'm sitting here like, what am I doing? Like, this is, and I say, you know what? The Lord told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And you know what? I'm not going to ask any more questions about it, because if he told me to do it, he's going to provide what I need to get it done. And he's going to tell me when to release it. And there we go. And that's all I need. I'm fine with that. Just like when I was like, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to get to do? Let me just go to work and not complain and just be grateful I have a job. I'm just going to keep working until the Lord tell me to do something otherwise. Period. Because when you are doing your work and when you're doing what you are supposed to be doing in the Lord before he moves you to whatever it is that he's called you to do, what he's anointed you to do, not that you are not anointed in what you're doing now, you're anointed, but he just hadn't called you to the appointed thing yet. When you're doing that, what you don't realize is you're planting seeds. I think about all the stuff that I've done. I've written books. I've written stuff to Hallmark that's been published. I got a public something that's getting ready to be released from Hallmark now on their website that I published, a little story. Like, I'm thinking about all these things, and I'm like, these are all seeds. I've left some books in the airports where I've been. These are all seeds. I don't know who's picked my books up and seen it. Somebody might get ready to pick my book up now. And guess what? They're going to call me. They're going to find me at the appointed time. At the appointed time. And let me tell you something. for anybody who's an author, and I'm going to get off of here because I had to get ready for church. let me tell you something. Counterfeit always comes before the real thing. Last year, I got a call from somebody in California about my book. They wanted to have my book at a national or worldwide book fair thing or whatever. It was a scam, okay? But at first, I was really excited because, oh my gosh, I'm a book. But when I talked to the lady and I'm getting more detail and stuff, I'm like, wait, I got to pay $800 for what? She said it's for marketing. And I said, but I've designed the book cover that you see. I designed that. I already edited my book twice, three times. My book has been edited by me and other people. I said, so what am I paying for? I'm not paying it. I'm not paying $800. She said, well, you know, it's just no, thank you. But guess what? I was a little upset about it. I was like, man, I thought this was my opportunity, but the Holy Spirit came in real fast and was like, don't you see? That's just a glimpse of things to come. And when I realized that counterfeit comes before the promise, the counterfeit comes before the promise. So I got excited because I said, wait a minute. One day, one of these publishing companies is going to call me for my book, a name brand publishing company like Penguin House, or I think it's Penguin House. Anyway, the Penguin going to call me. Somebody going to call me. Oprah Magazine may call me. I don't know. And I know some of y'all like Oprah, but she, let me tell you something. The Lord will use your enemies to bless you. Okay. Oprah needs Jesus. She does. And if she hears this, she probably like, how you know me to tell me I need Jesus? Look, everybody needs Jesus. Okay. Miss ma'am, everybody needs Jesus. I know I need him. That's why that song say, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Jesus, I need him every second of every minute of every hour of every day. I need him. I don't care how long I've been walking with him. I still need him. Okay? So, just in case she listens. But anyway, like, I don't know. This podcast is a seed. Because guess what? One day somebody's going to listen to him like, hey, where is she? Let me go look at her stuff. TikTok is a seed. Instagram is a seed. Facebook is a seed. The things I post, the reels I make, all those things are seeds. When you start realizing that the things the Lord has you doing right now, before he takes you to the appointed call, the things that you're doing right now are seeds. Every student I teach is a seed. Because guess what? When they leave me to go other places, and especially now that they're seniors, these are the same kids I had 2 years ago. They're seeds. They're getting ready to go into the world. I don't know where they're going to go. But guess what? They take a little piece of me with them. A little piece of what I said with them. And it's going to take root in their heart. And they're going to take it somewhere in the world. And they're going to do something with it. I believe that in the mighty name of Jesus. I do. They may even say, reach back and say, hey, Ms. Cooper, you know what? I finally found your podcast. And I listened to it. And that thing blessed me. And guess what? I gave my life to the Lord. I may have some students who do that when they graduate. I may have some students that say, Ms. Cooper, you know what? I know you are an author and I read your book and I know somebody. I met somebody in college. I met somebody in the military. I met somebody who could do something with your book and I want to help you out. I don't know how this is going to, whew, thank you, Jesus. I don't know how this is going to work for me, but I'm telling you that everything that you're doing right now is a seed. It is a seed that is being planted. Do not give up and don't get discouraged. It may take 10 years. It may take 15, 20, 30 years. You may not live to see it, but your children will live in the fruit of it. I'm telling you what I have seen for myself. I'm telling you what I know. I have so many testimonies of my friends who were just doing and being consistent with the Lord and doing what they were supposed to be doing. And one day a door opened because somebody ran across something that they posted or something that they said years prior. My gosh, like, do you that? And the thing is, we get so caught up with, Lord, why you not hear me? To be honest, it's already done. He's waiting for us to walk, like, to catch up with it. You do have to realize the spiritual, everything that we are doing now has already happened spiritually. And that is a big concept to understand in our mind, in our finite mind. That's a big concept to grasp. But how do you think these movies are being made? These end time movies, basically. Because it's already happened in the spirit. It's just that somebody's tapping into that and pulling it out for Hollywood. Y'all, it's so much stuff I can go into that. But just realize the reason why that angel of the Lord was able to speak to Gideon and tell Gideon he's a mighty man of valor, call him the things that are not as though they were, is because it was already done in the spirit. He was already a mighty man of valor in the spirit. It just hadn't caught up on the physical side yet. Think about when Daniel chapter 9, when the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came to him and said, as soon as you applied your heart to pray, as soon as you set your heart to pray, I was already sent with the message. Y'all, because it happens already in the spirit world and the spiritual, and then it crosses over into the physical. That's why the prayers that you pray, you got to be consistent with the prayers you pray. I got to get off of this thing, but you got to be consistent with the prayers that you pray, and you got to pray specific. You got to pray God's word so you could pull that stuff out and over here. You got to pull it down and over here with God's word. See, that's the thing. We don't want to read. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. You don't want to read. You got to get in the word and study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to read and study and spend time with the Lord, and he'll show you how to do it. He will, because he has to go with what he said according to his will, because he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Y'all, I'm telling you, like, whew. Y'all, it's, thank you, Holy Spirit. Whew, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say, because y'all, this, I'm trying to look for something real quick. Woo. He said in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Y'all, I don't know, unless it was just for me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your path. That's what I got. I had planned to say other stuff, but clearly that's all the Holy Spirit wanted me to say. And I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. I hope you have a good day. I hope y'all have a great rest of your week. I will talk to y'all later. Love y'all. Make sure you check out my Facebook, my Instagram, TikTok. Make sure you check out all my social media platforms, all under the name Blessed Is She That Believe. I hope y'all have a great week. I'll talk to y'all later. Love y'all. Bye.